Okay, good evening, everyone. So tonight we're going to finish the topic of Shoichad, which we began a few weeks ago. So the final topic that the place can discuss, it's not in Shulchan Aruch on this, on Simon Test, is the question of kickbacks. And the truth is, it's not explicit in Shulchan Aruch in any particular case that would tell us that a kickback would be usur. So we need to look at a few sugyas, and there could be a significant difference in halacha based on a technical detail, a disclosure, and therefore it's important to go through the entire shaila. And as a disclaimer, as usual, we're learning Chayshe Mishpat, and there are many details involved in Chayshe Mishpat. We're just simply highlighting some of the halachic considerations that a person should ask his Rav when dealing with a question of a kickback. One of the angles to this sugya is understood based on the halachas of Shoichad. In fact, the Divrei Chaim in a tshuva, he invokes the concept of Shoichad. And some of the other poskim discuss the concept of Shoichad when it comes to kickbacks. So just to introduce it, just coming off of last week's share, we showed how Shoichad, in its purest form, is simply an isser, that a judge is not allowed to accept Shoichad. He's not allowed to take money. Obviously, he cannot take money to throw the case. That would be Lesate Mishpat. But even to simply judge, he's not allowed to accept money for hire to judge. He could get Schar B'Tela. We spoke about that. But he cannot have any Negias, even for both sides, when paskening a Shaila in Chayshe Mishpat. Now, we saw that this extended to Dayanim of a Nachri. It even extended to, according to many Paiskim, an elected official, the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir, those that are voting for someone to be an elected official, they themselves can't be bribed. We saw the Chassam Sofer regarding the voting for a Rav. So we see that it extends elsewhere beyond simply the halachas of Dayanim. But the truth is, from a strictly halacha standpoint, it's difficult to say that the following shir that we're going to discuss is an isser of Shoichad.
What? What did you say about the elected official? You can't bribe the elected official.
So we left the last 2 minutes of the shir last week. We said it's two chidushim. A chidush to say that it applies even by a nachri, and to say that it applies even by a nachri and an elected official. So there are many poskim that say it doesn't necessarily apply. So that's, I guess, what people rely on. By a yiddish official, it would be a problem. Yeah, according to the Chassam Sofer, many poskim.
So one day when groups of Jews get together with an elected official and they like,
so you have to ask the question. In America, that's the way the land works in general. When there's campaign donations, that itself is shoichad. So it raises the point. But that's the way it is. I think halacha l'maisa, there is what to rely on because they're dealing with gayim, a nachri, and it's an elected official. It's not the strict iser of shoichad. It's the chiddush of the pilpul acharifta. And the Chassam Sofer and many places that go with that, it's important to be aware that it exists and there's a svara, but halacha l'maisa, it seems that the minhag ha'olam is not like this Chassam Sofer, specifically when we're dealing with a nachri as well. Okay, but once we mentioned that, we said it does extend to other areas, but as I already gave away, it's not necessarily a halachic issue that there's shoichad mamish when a person is getting a kickback. So I'm just going to raise a few questions, and hopefully we'll get some clarity on these topics. And unfortunately, it's Maisim B'chol Yoyim. These stories happen all the time. And usually when things work out, nobody cares. But when there's an issue, that's when people start asking questions. What exactly was the setup in this business? Yes, Rabbi Yossi?
Yes, I missed this last week. In Malchusa, like you meant, you know, camping and donations are okay. Paying a lock-in official is considered bribery. I mean, does Din Malchusa apply here anywhere at all?
So that's a whole topic on its own. Dina de Machusa, we would say, should not go against halacha. If halacha tells me something's usur, then Dina de Machusa should not make a mutter. Right? That,
okay.
Right. So if you have a Yiddish official, and he's going for, he's trying to be a representative or a senator or the like, there might be an isur of Shoichad. Okay, let's move on. So an example would be, let's say you have a real estate company. They are multifamily syndicators. They put together deals and they operate multifamily property in the Southeast, in the Sun Belt, whatever their business strategy is. And you are an LP or an investor. You look at their OM, the offering memorandum or the private placement memorandum, and it says that they use a third-party manager. Okay, sounds good. They don't know anything about Georgia, about the politics. There are so many things that go into consideration when operating, especially if you're dealing with low-income housing. You want people who actually know the local issues there. So it sounds like they're using third-party management. Sounds good. You sign up, you invest. You find out 2 years later, there's no such thing as third-party management. The third-party manager is one of the partner's brother. He owns a property management company in Georgia, and he's the one that's doing the property management. And very often you could have partners within a business, not necessarily LPs, limited partners. You could even have general partners who aren't necessarily aware of who's in charge of operations, right? One of them's a silent partner, he's just raising capital. And then you could have a third party manager who's managing the property. Now, hopefully he's doing a good job, and usually nobody cares, but let's say he didn't do a good job, or he's charging more than the going rate. So the LP or any other partner could say, we were cheated out of money. There was supposed to be X amount of NOI, because typical property management rates, we'll call it, I don't know, 8%, 10%, whatever the property management rate is, you overpaid because it's your brother's company, it's an ancillary company, and we there was no disclosure here. So it's Maisim B'Choyayim. So that's one question. What's the halacha in that case? Another question, you have a, we'll call it a private equity group, or the like, we have a company that's expanding, and they hire an acquisitions fellow. They hire him to find good deals. Now, most corporate companies, they have specific buy box. We're buying warehouses in Virginia. Okay, but let's say you have a Heimische company, and they'll buy anything. Any good deal that comes up, they want to buy. So this fellow, he finds a good house, a good single family house, and he wants to buy it for himself. And he buys it for himself. Is there an issue that he's going against his job? His job was to purchase, to find good deals. He found a good deal. How could you not give it to the company? You kept it for yourself. Is that a taina on the acquisitions department that they did acquisitions for themselves? You could even have a question of a broker. You have a real estate broker who, instead of bringing a buyer to the table, he buys the deal himself. I have such a great buyer for you, myself. Is that a problem? What if the broker receives a gift, or let's say you have someone who's doing purchasing. He's in charge of purchasing for the nursing home, and he you know, it's a high volume order. He orders a lot, and they give a gift to him. Is it his gift, or does he have to give it to his boss? Who gets to keep the gift in that case? Many of these questions touch.
Every buyer is saying he calls it whatever. He buys the fruit for the restaurant. Let's say, or vegetables for the restaurant. Taken home for himself.
What's his job? His job is to buy for the restaurant, or his job is to find good deals?
Well, even if he's, that's his job, is to buy for the restaurant. So if he sees a nice orange or whatever it is, he goes, oh, this I can take home for Shabbos. He'll pay for it separately. He wasn't sent yet for that. So he's saying,
So there's two things here. We'll do the Gemara. The Gemara is, we'll learn the Gemara. The Gemara we just had on the Daf Yud, above Metzia, differentiates between the two cases. I'll get back to it. Okay. Let's say there's a.
Find a property that what his boss wants. What's the difference if he's the buyer? He's getting a, giving us a better deal than what his boss could have gotten. Then it'd be a problem, though.
Which case?
The case of the property with the real estate. I have to buy the property for my boss, and I took it for myself. If I'm taking it for what the boss is looking for, what's the difference?
No, I want to live in it. Yeah. It was a great deal to fix and flip. I want to do a live and flip. I'll live in it myself. I'll fix it up. It was a great fix and flip property, but instead of giving it to the team, which was my job, I was the acquisitions fellow, I took it for myself. Is that a problem? Okay.
Louis would say, the Vikim dating the man sounds like the real estate life. Nice.
Welcome to the world, right? Next, you have an example where I hopefully this is not true, but 10 years ago when I first started thinking about going into kashrus, there was a rumor, there was a hashkacha somewhere, hopefully this is not true, that they would push certain caterers and say that these caterers have a better hashgacha or have better mashgichim, and they would actually get a kickback. That the amount, and it sounds horrible, kashrus agency, the amount of weddings or chasnas they would book using these caterers, the caterer would give him a kickback. Oh, thank you, because he's the Rav. And they called the Rav to ask him, who should we use for the wedding? Who has the best hashkacha? And he says, Reuven. Reuven's catering. And Reuven gives him a kickback based on how many guests, how many bookings he gets. So it sounds horrible, and it is. But it's a good example. What?
Within funerals. Within funerals. I've heard it the same thing in funerals.
Now, what do you mean?
That a certain chapel gives a kickback to the rabbi who recommends them.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have issues of...
Yeah, that's a one-time...
That's all the time. No, he's there. He's all the time.
Okay. A very common example is nursing homes. Many nursing home operators, we'll discuss this in a few minutes, where they... most of the business is from ancillary services. So it looks like they're nursing home operators, but really they're making their money on pharmacy, or they are making their money on tech, on software, on billing software. So is there a problem when this is not disclosed to the partners? Now, if everything's being run well, so nobody's raising the question, but when things start falling apart, people start asking, who exactly is this service provider and why are we using him? Oh, it's your brother-in-law. Ah, okay, fine. But why didn't you disclose that to the partners before going into it? So I think before we get into some of the sukkahs, again, this we're opening up a whole can of worms. Many of these things are mutter, many are usser. It really depends on the details. I just want to give some general guidelines, just a quick, we'll call it four rules, or four things to consider where it will be very helpful before making a decision. So number one, whenever we deal with chayshe mishpat, v'halach is kol tnai shebamamon kayim. Any tnai, when it comes to monetary activity, works. That means if you have partners on a business or you sell someone a property and you tell them, by the way, my cousin owns a title company, my cousin is an appraiser, we're going to use this lending or the like, and he has no problem with it, full disclosure, it's mutter. There's no issue of lifnei either or giving an eitz she'ein hagenes. I disclosed everything. I told him, I want you to buy these tiles because I get 10% commission on all the flooring that I recommend as a interior designer. Take it or leave it. You don't have to use me. You want to use me? I'm just telling you I get commission. Or you're a party planner, I get commission on the flowers. I'm just letting you know. So you're asking me to advise you which flowers to get. I'll try my best, but I'm just pointing out that from these two groups, I get 10% commission when we use their flowers. You don't want to use me? Just realize I'm not a fiduciary. In commercial real estate, very often it's changed from a seller's rep to a transaction coordinator. In legal terms, why is that? Because a seller's representative is a fiduciary. You are there to make sure the seller gets the best offer. When you're representing the buyer as well, and this is part of the legal battle for those that are aware of in the residential real estate world, is that you have the seller is paying the buyer's rep. The seller has to pay a 6% commission, and it's split between the seller's representative and the buyer's rep. So the seller is paying the buyer's real estate agent who's representing the buyer. So that's part of the battle. I didn't read all the legal rulings on that. Time will tell what happens in that world. But at the end of the day, you're changing from a fiduciary to a coordinator. I'm simply helping the process move along. So in many states, it's required, and they do not allow a dual agency. You can't be both a buyer's rep and a seller's rep. You can make the money, but you have to now change into you switch over into a transaction coordinator. Okay? So number one, if there's full transparency, and obviously in America, you have to care about the legal system as well, assuming it's legal and there's full transparency. So then we would say, kol tanai shebamamon is kayim. Now, rule number two, or consideration number two, if you're not being fully transparent, you should ask yourself, why not? This itself is a red flag. Why don't I tell my boss or my partner or my LPs or the buyer, seller, whatever situation you're in, tell them that, by the way, I make a commission on this? Why are you hiding it? Very often, there's an answer to that question, which, you know, a.k.a. Gneva, that if I would tell them, they wouldn't do the deal. If I would tell them, then they wouldn't go ahead and trust me or pay me top dollar if they knew that I'm not really giving them advice. I'm giving my own advice. I'm not. I'm making sure I pay my bills. I don't care about them. So a person should ask himself, why are you not disclosing it? I met someone they had a school dinner yesterday. So there was someone from out of town who was trying to, shouldn't even say this in a recording, but we'll change all the details. He has this new business and he was trying to network with a few people. Now it could be I have a totally wrong reading and everything's fine. But when you ask the fellow, I've learned to ask people, so how do you make money in this whole, you know, tchilase chesed, v'soife chesed, fine, everything is chesed over here. So lemaisa, how do you make money? And it wasn't a clear answer. So there's some type of ancillary way how to make, it's not a normal commission or charging a fee, a normal situation. Okay, there's a fee. When you can't get a straight answer how you are making the money, oh, the nursing home doesn't make money. So why are we going to the nursing home business? Oh, there's pharmacy, there's this, there's that. So just like disclose it. Why is it not being disclosed right away? And very often with, you know, it's the hot topic today where deals have gone sour. Many situations, the operator had no intention of really operating the nursing home or the apartment building or the like. It wasn't the plan going in, unfortunately, in many situations. The plan was, oh, I have an ancillary business. I do construction, or I have a construction company. That's where I make my money. So I'm buying the nursing home as a hecha timtza to have the third-party construction company, which is owned by me, do the work. You didn't disclose it to any of the investors. The investors assume you're going in full hands on deck to operate the nursing home, to make it a going concern, to revamp the place. And they don't realize you don't care about the nursing home. You made your money on the software package you sold them, which doesn't even work for their company. You made your money somewhere else. You're out. You don't care. It's all non-recourse. And everyone else is left holding the bag, so to say, where they lost all the money that they put into it. So very often, by not disclosing it, a person should ask himself, why am I not disclosing this to everyone? Everyone, whoever's a partner involved in the business, doesn't even have to tell everyone in shul, but whoever's part of this business should know very clearly what's happening here. Now, very often you have the government involved, which they end up being a partner, so to say, even from a halacha standpoint, when they are funding a lot of the programs and services in a nursing home. So if they are not aware of something, and you know, if I would tell them, the reason why we're billing Medicare X amount is because we're using my brother-in-law's company, and that's why he's overcharging, there could be Gnevas Das there also. Just because it's the government body, and it's not someone you have to face in shul, necessarily, but that's also Gneva. There's an Isser Gneva to the government as well. So very often, when it comes to ancillary businesses, a person has to be extremely careful to make sure there's full transparency, and yes, we are getting the best deal. We have the best interest of the paying bodies in mind, and we're doing things correctly. Yes, Abiyasi?
It's Gneva. I mean, unless we see a loss, you're saying the fact that you have an Ikea makes it Gneva all of a sudden, even though there's no...
Well, sometimes it depends, right? In Echanami, let's say you need, I don't know, an example that would be a reimbursable item. I don't know exactly, but let's say it would be food or the like, something that the government... Here's a good example. Classic example. You have a property manager and they're doing they have to fix up a bunch of apartments. Now they are ordering new appliances. Boss tells them, order the appliances, okay? $50,000 worth of appliances. He figures, oh, I could put it on my credit card and now I'll get 50,000 points or 75,000 points. Me and my wife, we could go on a trip to Orlando for a couple of nights. Swipe. Now you just charge. Now this company, the service provider, charged a 3% service fee for using a credit card. Swipe. So he swipes it. Now if you would have asked the boss, and the boss would have said, you know what, for cash flow reasons, I don't mind a 3% hit. It's okay, put on your credit card, I don't mind. No problem. But if you don't tell him and you use the credit card for your own gain,
cash for a check.
Yeah.
Exactly. I got you.
So that would be Gneva. Same thing would apply to, you could take this example to to nursing homes are like. You're overpaying for something because it's my brother-in-law's business, and I could get an equivalent service from someone else for cheaper, but it's the government, and who cares, right? So that's a problem because you're stealing money from the government. Even though we don't like the government, you don't, it doesn't make a difference. You can't steal from them.
But if your company's not paying any less, but you,
right, or if it's a quality. Now the problem is, and this is the fourth. We're skipping the third one. The third point, rule of thumb was, is to, you have to focus on the details. And the fourth one, which is where it comes from, Shaykhar, is okay. So now you're saying, well, it's the same thing. They're both equivalent, and therefore I'm not. No one's losing here. So you have to realize that. As the Meiri says, as we learned, that money can blind someone. So very often we'll say it's the same quality. And if you were to get an independent person, just ask someone else, is it really the same quality? And if the answer is yes, then it's the same quality, same service. But if you know good and well that my cousin's property management company in Georgia, they have no clue what they're doing. I'm only using them because I get kickbacks or they get kickbacks, whatever the situation is, and I really can't say that it's equivalent to what the market has to offer, and therefore my investors would not necessarily agree to this setup. I'm only doing it because of the kickback. I'm getting some cut, 5% cut of that property management fees coming back to me, the syndicator. That's a problem. And as we said, it's very difficult for a person to call himself out on it because there's negias here. Okay, now because this is an ancillary topic, no pun intended, to what we were learning before, we're just going to go through some, just highlight some of the halachic background. So the first topic which we mentioned, I think this is the most clear cut, the most of the topics we'll discuss today, is the case where you are the acquisitions fellow and you found a good deal. So we just had this in the daf, Bav Metzia daf yod. The Gemara there in the sugya is discussing if you could be kinda a Metzia for someone else. So the Gemara says like this. Asi Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba asked Rav Nachman, he said, Metzias Poyel La'atzmoy. A Poyel, someone who's there, he's supposed to go pick apples, he's a Poyel, and he finds a $100 bill on the floor, he's allowed to keep it. Now, B'med V'amamurim, B'zman Sh'armulay Balabayis, when the Balabayis told him, Nachkesh Imi Hayoyim, Adar Imi Hayoyim. You should work for me today. And in that case, he has to work. He has to fulfill his hours. If he took away from the hours that he was supposed to work because he was busy finding this deal, booking tickets on a good deal, no problem. You could keep the tickets. However, he cannot charge. He cannot bill for those hours. But as long as he pays back for those hours, halach is that's okay. However, Aval Amarloi, I'm sorry, I'm skipping. Yeah. Here, we'll go to the bottom where the end of the Gemara is. The Gemara says that if he says to Asi Imi Melacha Hayoyim, then Mitziyasi Shabbala Bayesu. If he says, work for me today, so then he has like the Yad, he's the Yad of the Balabayas, and he would be considered like a Yad Poyel Kiyad Balabayas. Then the Gemara later on says, that if he says, go find Metzias for me, you should go look for Metzias. That's his job. If his job is to find Metzias, so then obviously everything he finds is should be directed to the Balabayas. So in that case, and the place can bring this down, if the person's job was to do acquisitions, if the firm is a specific firm, they look for specific types of businesses to buy, and he goes and he purchases a single family house, that's not the acquisitions that was discussed. But if they are a private equity group and they do everything, whatever comes up, we want good deals, we need to do deals. So any good deal that comes up, if that's what his job is, he's the acquisitions fellow, that he's hired to do this, halachically he would have to give them the first dibs. That's the it's a mitzia. And the place can say that would be the halacha in that case. Okay. Let's move on. That was probably the most straightforward. Again, you have to know the details in that case as well. But in general, there are four different considerations. I will just highlight them when it comes to kickbacks, when it comes to a person self-dealing, wearing multiple hats. So number one, very often there's a question of Hashavas Aveda or Leisamad Adam Riacha. You're in a situation where you could save the boss money, you could find a better deal, and you choose not to. So sometimes it runs into the question of Leisamad Adam Riacha and or Hashavas Aveda. There are limitations to Hashavas Aveda. In Halacha of Hashavas Aveda, Halacha is Avedascha Kaidim, that your financial losses come first. And if a person has a financial consideration there, it could be that the halacha of Hashavas Aveda, even Leisamad Adam Riacha, might not necessarily apply, but that's one thing to keep in mind. Additionally, if you're dealing with a Nachri, there's no chiv of Hashavas Aveda to a Nachri. In fact, very often it's Isser of Hashavas Aveda to Nachri. So that's...
You put together a better deal, and that was what's the connection?
Of Hashavas Aveda? So let's say he's... what's a good example? He's getting the wrong product. It's not going to work. I'll give an example. And this would apply even if you're not working for the fellow. He's buying a piece of equipment that's going to clean the floors. But you know that this is not, it's never going to work. For the flooring that they have in this building, this machine is not going to work. So if you are aware of this, there's a halacha of Lesamad Adam Riacha, of Hashavas Aveda. Independent of whether or not you're working for him. If you simply know that this deal is about to go on, you should tell them, by the way, Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda is, but that's only a chiv when it comes to a Yisrael. Now, very often, there is no chiv, because let's say you're a car dealer, okay? And the fellow is about to buy a lousy car, and you work at the dealership. Now, you probably shouldn't have gotten a job there, but let's say you are a salesman working at the car dealership. He's about to buy the car. He didn't even ask you. You're sitting on the sidelines, and you see him about to buy a car, and you know he's never going to be happy with this car. The engine dies after a few months. There's always going to be issues. So from a Hashavas Aveda standpoint, if he's a Yid, L'samad Adam Riecha, you have to tell him, don't buy it. It's a lemon. Don't buy that car. Now, if it's subjective, some people like Teslas, some people like Range Rovers, whatever car people like, there's nothing inherently flawed with the car. So there's no Hashavas Aveda. He likes Range Rovers. You don't like it? That's your own personal choice. Or Hondas and Chevys and Toyotas, whatever the case is. But if there's something wrong with the car, so there'll be a din of Hashavas Aveda. Now, let's say you own the car dealership or you have a financial interest in the sale taking place. If we only look at Hashavas Aveda as a standalone category, typically the halacha is that chayecha kaidim, I'm using that term, but the point is that I don't have to lose money if I make a significant buck per hour, and it's going to take me an hour to return these shoes that I found on the floor. It's a fair halacha in Shulchan Aruch that I'm pater. Now we learned the Shulchan Aruch says a person should not do this his entire life because you'll never be a Baal Chesed. Always taking consideration into my own, you know, chayecha kaidim. But halacha l'maisa, as far as Hashavas Aveda, in this case of a car, he would be pater from saying anything. Now, lifnei iver would be if he asked you a question, is this a good car? And you give him an eitzah she'eino hagenes in a chanami. But he didn't ask me anything. I'm sitting there drinking a coffee. He doesn't even know that I own the place.
You have a big for sale sign. You're writing something. You're like, ooh, runs like new, runs like...
See, the owner. Okay, I hear. Maybe.
You know. You mean, Matt, to Glenn Stotts, no? And ask what? And ask Mama. You know it's not going to last. You know it's not worth the $5,000.
I hear. So you have to get into the halachas of Aina. We tell them buy it as is. Buyer beware. There are ways to avoid it. But now, again, I said we're only focusing on one Isser, Hashavas Aveda. There are other Isserim as well. But as far as Hashavas Aveda goes, there are limitations to it because it doesn't apply to a Nachri. And if you yourself are going to lose, very often Hashavas Aveda is not applicable because your money comes first. Which brings us to the second issue to take into consideration, like Rabbi Yossi is saying, is that Gnevas Das, that depending on the setup, by me telling him to do something, it could be Gnevas Das. An example would be...
I know
is more detail if I'm ripping him off.
Okay.
It wouldn't be I know. There's no market value. Yeah, okay, it could be. It could be in Hanani. It could be there would be a case like that. I'll give an example. Let's say you are redoing your kitchen. And you don't know anything about kitchens, so you hire your friend, your daughter's friend, who knows how to design kitchens. And she tells you which tile, which granite to get. She gives you a whole list. And we're trusting her. She's an interior designer. Now, if she did not disclose that she gets a kickback from the cabinet center, every cabinet that she sells, she makes 10%. She never disclosed that. There could be an issue of Gnevis Das on the entire setup. What does that mean? I hired you. I'm paying you $500 an hour to be an interior designer to do the best for me. And you're not working for me. You're working for yourself. You're not working for me. You want to make extra cut from the tiles, from the flooring, from the cabinets. So there could be an issue of Gnevis Das. Now, whenever you say this publicly, many will answer back, and this happened here last time, so that, what do you mean? Everybody knows that they get a commission. So two things. Number one, don't always assume that everybody knows. The second thing to keep in mind is that very often when people say that, either they've gone through the ringer or they themselves are in business. So when you have professionals, we'll call it B2B, business to business, you're always thinking, okay, well, how does that person make their commission? How do they make money? But an unassuming homeowner doesn't know anything about kitchens. They don't know the industry. You know the industry. You go to networking events. You have hundreds of friends as a professional in the space. You understand as a caterer, as someone who's made 10 chasanas, you understand how things work. But you can't just assume that becomes the minhag ha-soichrim, meaning the minhag ha-medina, so to say, that everyone's aware of it. In most situations, people are doing this once their entire life, that they're redoing a kitchen, that they're buying a house, that they're making a chasana, hopefully, have a few kids making chasanas. But it's once every few years. They're not in tune with, everyone in the industry does that. That could be helpful B2B, because you could say that's the minhag, and it's as if it's explicit. Everybody knows that when they go into a deal. But unfortunately, not everybody knows that. And you could even make the same argument, let's say, in the nursing home industry. When there's only two partners in the deal, and each one has 15 years of nursing home experience or healthcare experience, we don't have to pick on them, or multifamily experience, they understand that certain things will be done to help the ancillary business, and there are multiple ways we're going to make money on this property. They could say all the partners understand, they've been in this industry for years, and I could hear an argument saying that it's as if we disclose this. But when you take LP money from 30 chevra in Lakewood in the five towns, they're giving $25,000 from a family office. Maybe they should be a little more sophisticated, but you're taking money from people who don't necessarily understand your put together deal with ancillary businesses. There's a very strong argument to say that l'tikuni shidaticha, this is Gnevis Das here. I didn't know this is how you're setting it up. And you're fudging the numbers in their mind. That's how they're perceiving it, because they're not used to the way you do things. And you can't say it's as if I disclosed it. So disclose it. You don't need a migu here. Just do it. So that's the Gnevis Das consideration. Okay.
Bro, can I throw this out? I used to be a used car dealer in my business, you know?
I didn't know.
And we all, as a rep, you got to hustle, you know? And they really have sprays. We have new car spray, and we have this other gunk removal spray, and you make a look brand new, have 200,000 miles on it. Now, so you don't say anything. You just, I didn't, but I saw it happening. It's you do among the dealers, not among the buyers.
It's not so simple. Okay, you have to take that into consideration.
Most of the time, let's even take a real estate broker. Sure, he uses lawyers he works with, engineers he works with, and maybe they all give kickbacks. But the reality is that they have a relationship that works. So at the end of the day, it won't be for the detriment, because the money will be the same. The only thing is, he's making money. He doesn't want the guy to know about it, because he doesn't want the guy to have like big eyes on what he makes. But at the end of the day, the best for the deal is that everybody that he knows and trusts and working 20 years with is all showing up at the same time. To make sure everything is there. But they're all doing for the benefit of the deal because of the kickbacks, because they all work together. Because of that.
When things work out, yes, but when things don't work out.
Meaning it wouldn't be so beholden to each other if not for all this relationship. Whatever it may be, that may be, for instance, even cabinets. She knows, the decorator knows it's going to come on a particular time because they're working together 30 years. And of course they make money off each other. But if he takes, she takes someone else, he won't care about the purchase.
Okay, but she doesn't have to take a commission. She can still.
The fact. Part of it, he's getting something, she's getting something, but it's not detrimental. It doesn't increase one iota of cost, but it actually benefits the end user because everyone is profitable for them, and they will not mess up that relationship.
Okay,
so let. His money there. My wife's real estate agent. She has lawyers. She recommends. She doesn't get anything from them.
Right, they're not allowed to. A real estate agent's not allowed to.
No, well, but
legally.
Yeah, but she gets even nothing happens. She wants them because she knows they'll do it right, so they will start to make a good deal.
Right, but they'll give back work too. But sometimes they'll give back work.
Right. But it's different. When someone's making a dollar on this deal, it, as the Chazon Ish wrote, when there's money involved as a payment, it clouds people because they're making money in this deal. Now, let's say the situation was, everything was fine. The Taka got the best cabinets, they got the best lawyer, they got everything done correctly, so there would not be Genevas Das on that product. You might have a Genevas Das on that I didn't trust that you were looking out for my best, and a person can have that taina in a bezdin. But let's say they did in fact look out for them. There would still be two other issues. One of them would probably be avoided in this case. That would be lifnei iver. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's assume there's no lifnei iver. There could be an issue of maris ayin, that even if the person did not do any Genevas Das, there was no issue, there could be a maris ayin that there's a chashah that it smells. It doesn't look right. So it really depends on the industry. It really depends on the marketplace. It's very hard to give a clear psak halacha in this case, and I'm not even attempting to. But I'm simply raising awareness where you could have one case where, as the Olam is saying, that's the best thing for the client. Everybody knows that, and it's good. And in certain situations, it's really not the best thing for the client. It's not the best for the partners to have one partner running a deal on the side, an ancillary business, and the whole business is just an hecha timtza for him to make money on pharmacy. You could see how it's not necessarily the best setup.
Service business, that could be an investment in service business. You get judged on the end result. Like if you're building something, it's your plumbers, your roofers, all of that is the end result. That's the other base of it. And of course, they're all, maybe not always getting cash, but they're all giving each other jobs. That's how it works. But I think if you look how these things are built up, no one's going to use someone who's going to mess up just because there's some benefit. Because everybody will give you benefit. So you're always going to use the ones that will do the great work. And of course, you're going to keep, you want your team in place. These are the teams you're used to. And the customer has the benefit.
Right. One more point is that it also depends on what the setup is. If you hire someone to do one job for you, and they're not a fiduciary, or they're simply there to bring a certain product to the table. Now, they can make recommendations, even if they're getting a kickback. It's different than where I hired someone to be my representative, to be my fiduciary, to be my interior designer, and I'm asking them, get me good deals, get me the best product. It could be that would make a difference as well. So, devil's in the detail in the sugya. Yes, Rav Avi.
What about these shachmaris that you get around like Hanukkah time and New Year's from the insurance companies and title companies and all that? Like,
so if you're a licensed agent, I just know from the agent rules.
When I work in real estate, let's say I have ABC insurance company does my insurance. But a lot of times, you know, just to make sure that I keep them in business, they have my business, they always like to send shachmonis, you know, is it a skip basket, you know.
Right, so in the world of agents, there are rules and laws, but let's say you're not an agent, you're just an owner, an operator, principal, so you... I would assume like this. Again, halach lemaisa ask a rav, but I think that it will be mutter because I'm not making a specific dollar based on this specific deal that I'm bringing to them. It's in general warm feelings that we have. There's a relationship here.
Is that I'm going to keep them as my insurance company and not go elsewhere.
Got the nakia now. Brother Apostle himself is a dayan, remember?
Right, so you're not a dayan in this case. That's why I said in the beginning, it's not this, you can't just copy and paste Sim and Tess Dine Sheikha to this case. This is more of, is there Genevas Das going on? So my gut tells me, that wouldn't be usur. It's different than taking a kickback that's not disclosed. I think gifts people understand, even those that are not in the in the industry would understand the gifting of it. But we could. I would.
He sends me AirPods and all the fun little chutkis every single year.
Right. You see some of the Balik Tzedakah now. They make a simcha and they get these meat boards. Like a whole cow comes into the simcha. I don't know who's paying for that, but maybe they are. I think we could pose an argument between. They're building the meat board, the meat tower. That's what they're building.
And I suppose that it's in quite special friends in yeshiva. So Israeli yeshivas come, they want to send kids to them, right? So they've invited us. For the next time you're in Yerushalayim, please use our apartment. Please this. Come to our reunion. A very beautiful hotel. You park in Yerushalayim. So I have an Agia then. I owe them, no? I may feel an Agia.
Yeah, so what's an Agia bringing you to do? To take them? That was last week, sure. It's not so simple. Oh. If it's a community-based school, Pashtus, or Mendel Shafran says it's usur, he's a big dying in B'nai Brak, it's a question. It's a question of Sheikha. It's not so simple.
Comes, I asked this Rabbi,
what did he say?
I was invited to a reunion they had, Hansi Hotel Parsippany, so I thought I shouldn't go. The Rabbi says, not a problem.
For you to go. So what did he say about the Sheikh? Okay.
I pushed him. I didn't get anywhere with him. But he said, you can go. It's
Atakoros HaTayv. Okay, it's not here.
But there is a, there's a competition for kids. Every kid is
100%. Yeah. Okay, I hear. Fine, let's just conclude I was trying to say this. Chiluk, I think, happy to ask around, but I think that there could be a chiluk between a gift, a New Year's gift or whatever it is, then I'm making a percentage on this specific deal. That means I am clouded in my decision on this deal. I'm not going to get the best deal for the client, and I'm a fiduciary here. Versus a gift. Okay, so I get a gift. I try to send him some work. As my title company, we'll do some closings with him over the year. But I don't need to do this closing specifically with him. But when I'm getting paid for this closing, that's the concern. Now, in the world of Lifnei Iver, the Rishonim say the Lifnei Iver is also an Isser. Rashi brings down to give an Eitzah She'eino Hagenas, to give someone bad advice. That means if someone asks you, is this a good deal? So let's say you're a broker and you are selling a property, and the buyer asks you, independent of the relationship of the agent and the buyer, a Yid, he asks you, is this a good house? Is this a good deal? And you know it's not. It's a Eitzah She'eino Hagenas. He's not going to afford it. Whatever the reason why it's not a Hagenas, there could be an Isser Lifnei Iver, that you're giving someone a bad Eitzah. When you tell someone to use these flowers because they're the best flowers and it's not the best flowers, you're just getting a kickback and it's somewhat equivalent to something else. It could be Eitzah She'eino Hagenas. The difference between this halacha and other halachas that we mentioned is that many poiskim, it's a Hakir in the Achronim. There's a lot of Lamda Shatayra on this. We know Lifnei Iver applies to a Nachri, when we're dealing with the Shiva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. You can't give an Avodah Zarah to a Nachri. It's Lifnei Iver. Does this Lifnei Iver of Eitzah She'eino Hagenas apply to a Nachri? Many Paiskim say no, that there would not be an issue of Eitzah She'eino Hagenas to a Nachri, only to a Yisrael. I just want to conclude with the last, just when it comes to Eitzah and giving people Eitzah, the Mesillas Yesharim says that. This is in Perek Yud Aleph, I believe. Hold on a second. He says that when a person asks you for advice, people like to give advice, right? So he says, Kashi Yava Ishlis Yaitz. There's a joke. This fellow was very wealthy, and people used to come for loans and for money, but he made them sit by his table and asked them, and he asked them what they're doing and gave them advice. And one day his fortune turned, and he no longer had enough to lend out or to give. And he asked his wife, he said, I understand they're not coming for the money, but why aren't they coming for the advice? So, Kashiyova ish lesyaitz boy, yatseo eight to show you who noitel asme mamish. You have to give advice, the same advice you would give yourself. Mibli sheyashkif ba elu tevose shalom lesyaitz, loy lishum tachlus acher. Okay, maybe this is a Musar Sefer, but he brings down Arur Mashke Iver Badarach, a pasuk in Devarim. Arur Mashke Iver Badarach, and you have to be very careful. When someone's asking you, if you're not being asked, they didn't ask me if this is a good car, if this is a good paint. They came to buy paint. Do I have to go out of my way to tell them there's a better paint across the street? We could talk about Hashavas Aveda, Chayecha Kaidim. There's no Gnevas Das. It's $11 for the bucket of paint. But if they ask me, is this good paint, and I know it's a horrible quality, you're running into an Issa D'Oraisa, an Ora Mashke Iver Badarach. So that's a very strong consideration in all of these matters. One final piece is the issue of chashad. I just want to go back to the kashrus world. The issue of yisim nekiyim Hashem mei Yisrael. There was a kashrus agency which, for many years, the minhag was that whenever there was a catered event at a hotel. Now, a hotel it does cost the hashgacha a significant amount to kasher, to do things correctly. The way they billed wasn't a flat fee. They charged 10 cents a plate. That means if there were 400 guests, they made, well, I don't know, whatever the plate was. It was probably more than 10 cents. Whatever it was, they charged a dollar per plate of guests, so to say, per guest. Now, they did it because the bigger the size, the more mashkichim you need, the more ingredients that come in. But when one of the dayanim took over, that was the first thing he knocked out. He said, it just looks bad. I don't need one person who made an event to say, oh, they're getting kickbacks based on how many guests come in because it's a certain hashkacha. There's a concept of yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. So very often, the best thing to do is just fully disclose it, or to make sure that this is something that is everyone in the industry understands it, even the buyers, not just the sellers. That's the best way to do it. And you avoid lifnei iver, you avoid gnevas das, and also the maris ayin as well. Okay, yashar koyach.